Story 67. Cars, boats, and planes. Anything you can give me, I'll take.
Within about a 12-year period of time, we bought and or built 12 different properties in San Diego County. One of the main ways we funded those purchases was through a concept we developed into being a $15 million a year fundraising program. A man who owned a parking lot and had been in the used car business came to us with a proposal to partner with him in selling donated vehicles. The concept was that we'd get cars donated to us, providing the donor with a tax deduction for the price of their car, and then this guy would sell the cars for us. We'd keep 90% of the money from the vehicle sale price, and he'd keep 10% for his cut. It seemed like a great idea to me, especially since we were already in that kind of business with our thrift stores. The concept was basically the same: seeking, receiving, and selling donated items. But this business model was with used cars instead of used clothing and furniture. Right away, the car sales program was successful. Next thing you know, we were in the used car business. We're just like every other charity that needs to be raising money regularly to keep its main mission going. Selling used vehicles became a major funding source for us to continue developing housing projects and programs for our neighbors in need. After the first year in business, I looked at the numbers and realized we were doing so much business that the guy who was selling the cars for us was making a lot of money from the deal. I decided I'd rather we do it ourselves. So instead of continuing to outsource the job, we brought the program in-house, and it became one of our main funding sources for the next decade. As more cars were donated to us, we had more cars to sell. The more cars we had to sell meant the more money we had to fund our work to help neighbors in need. This made sense to me. The solution was simple. We needed to get our hands on more inventory. To get more cars, we needed to expand beyond San Diego. That meant we needed to get the word out to people in other cities. So I did what I knew worked. I went back on television. I shot another commercial, and it was advertised all throughout the U.S. I was on television day and night all over the country for years. By this time, I decided to ask for boats and planes as well. San Diego is a coastal city, and we have a lot of boats in our waters, so that made sense. I threw in asking for airplanes because it was different. Just like saying, "I am a hustler," on television made people stop and pay attention. Saying, "I wanted your cars, boats, and planes," made people stop and pay attention too. I recall one time I was preaching at a parish in Palm Springs, and a couple from San Francisco came up after Mass to meet me. They told me they had been seeing me on television for years and just figured I was an actor playing a priest. They were surprised to find out I was a real priest. They asked, "Do people actually donate planes to you?" See, it worked. Even many years down the line, when my longtime assistant, Jose Gonzalez, and I met former President Gerald Ford at a charity golf tournament in Palm Springs, he referenced that commercial. Then, upon meeting the actor-comedian George Lopez at that same tournament, he did too. It was incredible to me how far-reaching that commercial was. In fact, if there is a single reason people know about the work we are doing in San Diego to help our neighbors in need, all credit goes to that cars, boats, and planes commercial. We were spending millions of dollars a year on advertising with an incredible return on that investment those first years. Our used vehicle sales program was hugely successful. Unfortunately, federal laws changed about how donated vehicles were valued, and that negatively affected the program. Up until that point, if someone wanted to donate a vehicle to us from anywhere in the country, we'd go pick it up and give them a receipt noting its Blue Book value. At that time, everyone established a vehicle's value from Blue Book. It was standard. For example, let's say you donated your vehicle to us and its Blue Book value was $1,000. We'd give you a receipt for $1,000 in exchange for your donated car. Now, we might be able to sell that car for $1,200 or for only $500. To us, it was pure profit minus the expense of running the program. To you, it was a tax-deductible write-off for the value of your car, regardless of what we were able to sell it for. But the federal government decided that wasn't okay any longer and passed a law that no one in the country could give a donation receipt for a vehicle's value any longer. Instead, it needed to reflect the actual sale price. This new law created a lot of issues for us because it would often take us a few months to sell a vehicle, which we usually did through our auctions. Not only was this a lot more work for us to keep track of each vehicle to be able to send out receipts months later, but people didn't really like that they'd have to wait for their tax deduction only when and if we sold their vehicle for whatever price we could get for it. For many years, we'd get a lot of vehicles donated to us in November and December from people who wanted to reduce their taxable income. Prior to the law changing, we'd be able to give them a receipt immediately. With the changes, we wouldn't be able to get them the receipt for a while, which meant their tax filing would be delayed as they awaited proof of their deduction. That law, combined with the passing of the Clunker Law, where all cars older than a certain year had to be destroyed and not sold, meant we were getting fewer vehicles donated. The program became less attractive to the donors, and next thing we knew, it was only bringing in a fraction of what it once did. But it had a great run. It was through all those donated cars, boats, and even two planes that we were able to keep buying up land. During that time, we even bought 14 acres of land in Otay, California, which included a lot of space for us to park our vehicles before auction. The program still exists, and while I am no longer popping up on your television as the hustler priest saying, "I want your cars, boats, and planes," people still recognize me because of that commercial. The power of television is incredible. Jose can tell you that it would happen almost every day for years that we'd be eating at a restaurant and within a few minutes, someone would walk up to us and say, "Aren't you that priest on TV?" Those commercials made me known, which made our work at the villages known. And again, that was and always will be the whole point. We even made the front page of the Wall Street Journal, but not for what you might think. A reporter was doing a story on drug smuggling at the Tijuana border. During his investigation, a car was detained that had drugs in it, and when they got into the details of the car, they found it had been bought at one of our auctions. The officer mentioned that it was a Father Joe car. The reporter heard that and printed it. So there we were, on the front page of the Wall Street Journal, getting press for our cars, and you know that old saying, all press is good press. Well, there you go. After I retired, I did another commercial to help raise money for the villages, with me looking into the camera saying, "I am still here and I still want your cars, boats, and planes." There was great value in advertising. To think there was a time when we were spending a few million dollars on commercial advertising, it seems like a crazy amount of money to me now, but it was worth it because what we were bringing in was exponentially more than that. Everyone who has donated vehicles to us has helped contribute to our success in creating housing solutions for neighbors in need.